Really reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. We were scheduled to have a discussion today with Gail McCain-Beatty, who is the Director of Assessments for Jackson County, but I received an email yesterday that she would be unable to attend. But I have to say thank you to one of our Jackson County legislators, Mr. Ryan Finley, who has stepped up to the plate to kind of have a discussion this morning, a conversation on this 2019 Jackson County property tax assessments. Before we start out, I would like to say thank you to Mr. Finley for his leadership on this project. If it not had been for the emails that I have received from him, I would not have known how important this matter is. Legislator Finley is out in the community attending meetings and informing the community about this upcoming change and how would it potentially have a negative impact on people. So I want to say thank you for that. And good morning, Mr. Finley. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning, Mr. Jackson, and happy to be here with you.
Can you tell listeners who may not be familiar with you a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am one of nine members of the Jackson County Legislature. We are elected, three of us in at large and one of us in district, or I'm sorry, three at large and six in districts. And I represent the second legislative district and live in the second legislative district, which is the east side of Kansas City, Missouri, and a portion of Raytown, Missouri. From approximately Independence Avenue all the way out past Bannister.
Okay, that's a huge district. So as a member of the Jackson County Legislature, what are the duties of the Jackson County legislators?
Well, it's like I try to help people understand it by saying that it's like Congress and the president, okay? The president and the executive administration is Mr. Frank White, who is the county executive. We are essentially the Congress, or we, the legislature, is the body that passes the budget that he submits, amending it or not, that passes laws and ordinances that are submitted, that also consider and passes county programs, new programs, amend programs, and also county contracts and that kind of thing for people who are doing business with Jackson County. All these kinds of business matters are essentially administered by the county executive, and they come before the legislature for legislative approval.
So we're going to start jumping into it. Many of you may have received a letter from Jackson County and may or may not have opened it, and some of you that did, we'll just say you probably received sticker shock. I was at a meeting last night with Legislator Finley, and people were there saying that in some cases the property taxes went up only by 15%, but in some cases on vacant land, property taxes increased over 800%. So if you haven't opened up those letters that you received from the county, I would highly recommend you do so, because as we're going to discuss here in a second, the process for the informal review deadline is Monday, June 24th. So this is going to be a quick turnaround for those who may not have filed that appeal yet. Legislator Finley, under Missouri state law, how often is the county tasked with doing a real property assessment?
As I understand it, the county reassesses all properties in Jackson County every 2 years. And this is a reassessment year. And what people have received is a notice from Jackson County. What we're discussing today is the real estate. And a notice from Jackson County advising them of the results of the reassessment process regarding their homes or vacant lots or commercial properties. And that is, it came within the last 2 weeks. Probably it was mentioned last night, and probably is true. There is some confusion. It was an envelope from Jackson County with the open envelope window with your name, address, etc. But it said this is not a bill. So a lot of people, perhaps, some people get so much junk in the mail that a lot of times they just tear it up or whatever else. And we are feared that some people may not have even opened it. And we would hope that perhaps they would have and then determined if the result of the reassessment of their real estate, and they have, if they disagree with it, certain appeal rights. The first appeal is an informal review, which can be done by submitting documents online. It's best to submit them online because the phone lines are jammed. And then also, believe within 72 hours, submitting whatever supporting documentation the individual wants to say or to submit to say in support of their review that, you know, this is not really the evaluation of my property. I've looked at that form. It gives the person the opportunity to offer their opinion of what their value is and to say why. There is a parcel number for each parcel of Jackson County that needs to be on the appeal form and on any documentation submitted with the appeal form so that the staff can then review informally, as we're talking about, the assessment as it has been arrived at. Now, those things that can be submitted are recent appraisals in the area, or your if you've had a recent appraisal of your house or your lot or your building, or if there has been an offer of sale at a certain price, or if there has been other sales or other appraisals in the vicinity or the area that would be relevant to the value of your property. Also, photographs can be submitted. If you want to show that, well, look, you know, my house is not in that condition. It's not in as good a condition as apparently they've concluded. The pictures can be submitted. And then, like I said, a statement can be made on the form as to why you object. And you can offer your opinion regarding what you feel the property's worth.
And one of those things that he mentioned it in that letter the residents will have received is the PIN and the code that you would need to do that online file. If you don't have the PIN, which is on that document, and you don't have that code, then you're not going to be able to do it online, correct, Legislator Finley?
I am not sure of the answer to that. I'm sure that you could probably go further at the assessment office and perhaps learn either online or otherwise what your PIN is.
Okay, so then that's a way in which, as he said, the phone line's down there at Jim, so it may mean a trip for you to go down and get that information, but you can also file that appeal in person, correct?
Yes,
you can fill
you
out
can.
A paperwork. So when you're making that trip down there, you could fill out the paperwork, get the information for your PIN and your passcode, and then go back and upload that later. And as you stated, you have 24 hours. You have 72 hours or the 24th of June to the deadline for the informal process to upload your documents.
A constituent of mine was there yesterday to file their appeal, and they had a number of comparable sales in the area and comparable appraisals in the area of their home, and they just made a package of it, put their parcel number on the package and on the various pages of the document that they were submitting, and they just took it down to the downtown courthouse to the assessment department, and with their identification and PIN, et cetera, and when it just filed it for consideration with their request for review. And we ought to be very specific because it is an informal review. Now, if the citizen is not satisfied with the outcome of that informal review, then they still have a right to a formal hearing. And that more formal hearing, is the deadline for that is July 8th of this year. To go to the Board of Equalization, at which time you can be represented if you wish, if you have, or by someone, a realtor or lawyer, or a person files an entry of appearance, or you can represent yourself and go down before the Board of Equalization, and there will be a hearing, and you can explain why you object to this. such as, you know, well, my property was assessed 2 years ago at this value and nothing, you know, drastic has happened here in the neighborhood or, you know, or whatever. Some of the instances I have saw, yes, there has been some things happen. There has been some construction. There has been some new construction or modeling or whatever, capital improvements. You can also attest to the fact that my property is in the same shape it was 2 years ago. In the case of a vacant lot, for instance, as an example, you know, I haven't improved it. You know, I have maybe planted some flowers, but that's about it. And I've kept it mowed or whatever, so it needs to be reconsidered. And then present your pictures.
Yes, and that is definitely the... Let me step back a second. So let's ask this question. How did the county conduct this process? Did they go door-to-door? Did they look at homes that had sold in the area? You know, to kind of look at, because you can go down a block and there's, say, 30 houses on a block, and each one of those 30 houses can be in a different state of repair or disrepair. So it sounds like in some cases they just used a general brush and went down the neighborhoods. You know, you back to Beacon Hill, so your house is now worth $400,000 more.
Well, I can't answer that.
Okay.
Because, you know, what I have been focusing on since I learned about this is to try to make sure people understand the appeal process, what they can do if they are dissatisfied, and trying to encourage people to find out what they can do and to find out what's going on and open that notice. The details and specifics of how these valuations were arrived at is something that the staff would have been able to refer to. I've heard various things, but I don't have the hard information because, as I said, part of it is that this has also come to us recently.
And it leads into the next question. When did the county legislature learn about the process and assessment values that some residents have received?
We are aware that, as generally people should be, that assessment is part of the authority of Jackson County, and collection of these taxes are part of the authority of Jackson County. This specific program this year, and that it had been completed by staff, and that there was going to be a rollout of notices to people, was brought to our attention the 1st of June or so, I think, in individual meetings and others. So the staff acquainted us with we're sending these notices out, and we will have the appeal process.
So roughly a little bit about 20 days ago, you received the information about maybe 2 weeks before people started receiving it in the mail.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So will these increased property tax assessments impact those just who live in Kansas City, you know, Independence, Lee Summit, or will it be countywide?
It will be countywide. There are approximately 296,000 real property accounts in Jackson County and 310,000 individual personal property tax accounts, which we're not talking about, and 25,000 business property tax accounts. And Jackson County, as a governmental entity, has the responsibility for assessment of all of these accounts.
So, as you just said, it will impact your actual property tax, but it won't impact your personal property, which, i.e., your car, you know, people that may own a car, boat, trailer, you know, bus or plane, things like that. It won't impact that.
No, that's not what this discussion at this time is about.
Okay. So, as you were just saying, so if the informal process's deadline is Monday, June the 24th, if we do the informal process and we're not happy with that, then they have the information to go to the who can they appeal that process to for the informal?
Well, the next level appeal is to the Board of Equalization, and I'd like to add one more specific fact, if I may, and then I'd be happy to offer what information I have on the Board of Equalization appeal. On that notice that people received, the actual tax is on the back page. It's, you know, the front page, it says this is not a bill, and it gives some information and blah, blah, blah. On the back, if you look down the column there, it will tell you what your assessment tax was and what it is. Now, once you saw that, you can look at the valuation and figure out how much it increased. Then you can also look at the amount of the tax and see how much that has increased. Now, it has, the examples I have saw have varied widely. And by widely, I say that one of my neighbors told me her taxes went down $100. And then some other constituents who have been very vocal and very concerned have talked about that their assessed valuation has increased multiple times. And so, and that is, I've heard from some businesses and I've heard from some personal persons, which of course results in the tax being based upon the assessment. It results in the increase in tax, which you can find, as I've indicated, on the second back page of the notice. But we are not talking about the rate in this discussion. The tax rates have not been raised. What has been either raised or lowered or whatever is the assessment of your property.
Essentially, the value, since we've been in this crazy real estate market, the valuation of your property, warehouses have been selling for astronomical rates, so now those values are essentially beginning to come back in the form of higher property tax assessments, correct?
That is part of one of the factors that that affects the assessed value of the property.
I know one of the questions that came out last night was this the school district? And as being the former treasurer of the school board, I explained the school board has not had a increase in this levy since July of 1985 when Judge Clark did it in a DSEC case, and is still set at $4.96 per $100 of assessed value. Now, the school district will be one of the larger beneficiaries of these increased values because they're going to, when you look at your property tax bill on the back, they're going to receive the lion's share of that money. But as I explained to people last night, also have to look at, for every dollar that the district receives, the charter schools get about 48 cents on every dollar because that is their part that they're entitled to by state law. So the district, this windfall is not going to come to your schools in the form of millions of dollars because it has to be split with charter schools. So before people think that it was the district that turned around and put that, I mean, it did something, it's not the district, it's just the valuation and catching up of properties and kind of going from there.
Yeah, and I would suggest that, you know, we've got, I know there are 14 school districts in Kansas City itself. I don't know how many school districts are in Jackson County. But what discussion that you just mentioned was that the tax levy, the amount of the tax rate for Kansas City schools has not been raised, as you mentioned, because that would have been a matter of a vote. And the vote was never there. It was never there before the desegregation case. It hasn't been voted on. And so the Kansas City, Missouri School Board, the Kansas City, Missouri School District has not raised people's taxes. Now, I don't have knowledge of what the other school districts may have done, but Kansas City, Missouri School District, Mr. Jackson, as you've indicated, having been a former official of the district, they have not raised taxes. We're really just discussing the assessment.
Now, in Raytown did a mill increase in their levy a couple of years ago. Center School District did a mill increase in their levy a couple of years ago. What people really need to understand is that in order for a school district to increase their mill levy, it has to be a vote of the people.
Correct.
And in Jackson County, in Kansas City, Jackson County, constituents, residents have not raised the levy since 1969 through a vote of the people. Then Judge Clark forced the increase of the levy in 1985. But other than that, the levy has not been increased. So it's, you know, what we do have to look at, though, on the flip side of that, when residents approve the GO bonds, infrastructure bonds, that will increase. That will play an increase in your property tax bills. And I think they, based on the valuation that they used, they said that over it would raise the average $100,000 house. The values would raise about $20 a year for the next 20 years. So you'd be looking at an increase in your property tax bill of about $160 over 20 years. So, but as valuations go up, that increase could go up a lot more. So that's just something people have to begin to look at.
And we've gotten the question frequently, well, don't I get to vote on that? You know, if they're raising my taxes, don't I get to vote on that? And yes, but this is about the assessment of the property. It's not about the tax rate. And as far as the GO bond, that's why it isn't on the ballot. It's not about raising the tax rate. And as far as the GO bonds, of course, are concerned, that was passed by the voters.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're going on 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. And that bond program is to pay off capital improvement bonds in Kansas City in a program that is a public program. People can find out about it, sidewalks, curbs, streets.
Flood control. And the animal shelter.
Yeah, animal shelter. And all that is those bonds that were taken out for that program is being paid through that tax. That is, and for many years, those kind of improvements were not attached to property. But in this particular instance, the public did agree, and these payment on these bonds are attached to property. And so over a period of, I think, what was it, Joe, 30 years or
20 years.
20 years, there will be a slight tax increase every year to pay for the bonds that are going to pay for these capital improvements in Kansas City, and that is there's some issue going on about how much taxes are, of course, but it will be a matter for consideration. I think the last disputed controversial tax offered was for the pre-K. Okay, and of course that was not successful, but it had to go
before the voters.
Before the voters, so the right to have a vote on the taxes is still there, and it's still in the state of Missouri under the Hancock and other amendments.
And so there is no taxation without representation occurring in Missouri. The voters definitely have to vote on it. So, you know, some people. That's why local elections are so important. Because things that happen locally will impact you greater than things that happen nationally. Because City Council, Jackson County, can make a law that can affect you in 30 days. Something that happens in D.C., we from a tax standpoint, may not impact you until 6 months until you look at filing your federal income taxes. What is the deadline to appeal to the Board of Equalization?
The Board of Equalization deadline is July 8th. That is when everyone has to have their appeal in. And what we're suggesting to people is if there is any possibility that they might not like what they're seeing, go ahead and get your Board of Equalization appeal ready. And although the staff has committed that they will get back to people with the review before the 8th, and to let them know, you know, okay, we have decided this on your evaluation, and this is what your tax would be. We have been suggesting to people to go ahead and get your documents together, make sure you understand how to file your Board of Equalization appeal. If you need a representation, get that person involved, get these documents organized, and go ahead and prepare your Board of Equalization appeal. I don't believe there's a cost. And then you can withdraw your appeal if your other is satisfactory to you.
Does a resident have to do an informal appeal before they can appeal to the Board of Equalization?
No, they can do both, or they can do one. But do not miss July 8th if you want to have anything done. The next level after the Board of Equalization is the State Tax Commission. And the State Tax Commission offers, by statute, a hearing and an appeal, but it is a legal matter appeal, and a lawyer is recommended.
So if you fail to file an appeal by July the 8th, what happens? Can you then come back and say, I want to
I didn't understand. I didn't know. Time passed me by. Can I then appeal at that point in time? Or are you just really, you're stuck with what bill you've got for this year?
As I understand it, and I cannot commit, I understand that's your bill. If you haven't appealed, you're going to be on your bill by the end of the year. And you've had, that is the right that you have. Now, if you don't appeal to the Board of Equalization, that's a question I can't answer as far as your state tax appeal. I haven't looked at that aspect. I've been trying to study and understand the other appeals.
But from what I've looked at and listened to, if you haven't appealed to the Board of Equalization, then you wouldn't have appealed to the state because you don't have an, you're not, you have, when you're appealing to the state, you're asking them to overturn a decision that's been made in Jackson County.
I believe so.
But if you haven't made that appeal in Jackson County, then the state would have nothing to overturn.
That's probably correct. Okay, although I have not looked at the statute and that specifics. But the main thing I've been saying to people is understand what these appeal levels are and understand the deadlines.
And the state tax commission appeal, they can do one of three things. They can sit and say Jackson County erred and your taxes can be higher. They can say Jackson County made a mistake and your taxes should be lower. Or they can sit and look at it and say no change at all.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that when you're going through this process, the first informal appeal will sit and say that they can, this Jackson County and them saying that either yes or no, we made a mistake. The Board of Equalization appeal is where you are appealing the decision that you got from the informal Jackson County in that situation, or you could be starting the new process in that point, saying that based off of this information that my property taxes are too high or too low, and that's your point. Now, can you appeal how this will impact you financially if the proposed market value is assessed, or can you only appeal your property the proposed property assessment valuation?
The issue before the Board of Equalization is, again, not the actual amount of taxes, but the valuation, okay, of the taxes. Now, there may be other remedies available if you can't pay it. I really am not here to speculate about that.
Okay. So that's something good to know, folks. You can't sit and say that, you know, this is going to put an unfair burden on you because they're only looking at how much your property is actually worth. So that's something to have to keep in effect.
Now, I will add, and I don't want to muddy this anymore, but if you, there are remedies available to people to make some payments in circumstances, some limited circumstances, if you simply have problems paying your taxes. And that can be arranged through the county counselor's office, as I understand it. One thing that comes to mind, if your taxes are current, is the quad payment program for people over 62, I believe.
Yes.
You can make four payments during the year, but your taxes have to be current.
Yeah, that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later. But mm-hmm. It's called... The Senior Citizen Quad Payment Program gives Jackson County seniors the option to pay their county real estate taxes in four equal installments without interest or penalty applying. The installment agreements are due December 31st of the tax year, then February 28th, March 31st, and then August 31st of the following year. Qualifications are it does not apply to non-real estate taxes to qualify. So, i.e., what that means is you can't use it on the vehicle or any personal property. You must be 62 years or older by December 31st of the tax year. You must live at the address which you desire to have covered by the installment option. So if you have a rental property or something that you're leasing out, you cannot do that. It must be personally owned by you. You, not a trust, must own this real estate in fee simple or as a co-tenant by tenancy in common, joint tenancy, or tenancy by entirety. The biggest loophole that's going to be here is all prior year taxes must be paid and not delinquent. The property must be assessed as a residential property. You must apply for the program and meet all the property requirements to remain in the program. So a lot of seniors right now, the county won't sell your property until you get 3 years or more behind, and some people on fixed incomes are behind 2 years. So what they're doing is they keep making sure they make that one payment.
But this may be the time to maybe come down and talk to them about doing something every month, because as these property taxes increase, the burden increases. Find out what programs are available to you that you could then turn around and help yourself so that this doesn't become a burden to you.
I agree. I think I have always found that information is critical, and understanding some of these processes is absolutely critical. And I know it's confusing to people. People are not lawyers, but there are certain things that you simply as a citizen need to understand. One of those things is your obligation to pay the taxes on what you owe so that you don't lose it.
Exactly.
And you know, make whatever arrangement you can to do that. And we have, unfortunately, a lot of very tragic stories about people who will say, I didn't know I had to do this, or I didn't know it was due, or whatever else, and they have a problem. Now, we will, and I'm sure the within certain guidelines and certain statutory requirements, Jackson County will try to work with people on making sure that they remain in their homes, because we've got thousands of properties now that have been lost that are either in the land trust or the land bank that the governmental entities have difficulty, if not impossible, task of managing, keeping mowed, keeping boarded up, keeping various things like that that are blighting our neighborhoods. So if anyone has an issue, they need to try to make sure they understand what their obligation is, and use whatever resources they have to make sure that they are maintaining and holding on to their property, and perhaps even involve family members to help them if that is available to them.
So you're listening to Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station. We're having a discussion today with Jackson County Legislator Ron Finley about the 2019 property tax. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. This is 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations, and we're having a conversation today with Jackson County Legislator Ron Finley about the 2019 property tax assessments. And we have a caller on line one, Myrna. Good morning, Myrna. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. Can you tell us what part of town you're calling from and what your question will be for Mr. Finley?
Yes, I live in historic old Northeast.
Can't hear.
Okay.
I just wonder, how do you figure out what your taxes will be? Do you take a percentage of the assessed value or a percentage of the market value? I just don't know how they figure the amount of your tax from these numbers.
Her question is, she lives in historic Northeast, and she wanted to know how do they figure out this value. We were at a historic Northeast for you. Historic Northeast had a symposium last night, and that's where I was at. And they're having another one on Saturday at 4 o'clock at the North Kansas City Chamber Building. And the gentleman who taught it he's the president of Lycan's Neighborhood. Give a shout out to him, because without him being there last night and giving out that information, he gave out a lot of information. He said, based on what they do, it's 1.56% of the assessed value. So if you have a $10,000 house, then you would have a property tax of about $156. So that's how he particularly said that. So, and there, for those that are interested, there's going to be another one Saturday, June 22nd at 4 p.m. You have to RSVP by the 21st. It's at the Northeast Chamber of Commerce, 2657 Independence Avenue. And it is Greg Lombardi, and you can email him at gregg@nls4kc.org, or you can text him at 816-401-1951. And they're doing some great things there. What they're going to do is they're going to show you how the impact will affect you, how to peel the property taxes. So if you bring a laptop, they will sit and show you how to do the process. They will also show some other proposals that for homeowners who live in certain neighborhoods, how they can avoid tax increases for over 10 years. And they also show seniors and people with disabilities how they may be able to get their property taxes reimbursed by the state. So this is a thing where everybody needs to come out. It was a great event, and I went last night, and I was with Mr. Finley. But come out. You can get a lot of information. And it's neighbors helping neighbors in the Likens neighborhood, folks. So, Minor, I think that would be the great way for you to go, to show up on Saturday, and he could definitely help you out.
Okay, that's great. But you said it was 1.5%.
1.5. They said it's 1.56% of the assessed value. That's what he explained yesterday.
I see. Okay, that's what was my question. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
So, thank Myrna for that phone call. So, how would these, Mr. Finley, how would these property tax increases impact mortgages and rents in Kansas City? Because if you, okay, no. How would these proposed property tax legislations increase the mortgages and rents in Kansas City?
Well, I don't believe it will impact your mortgage or
even if your property, you know, even if. Well, your mortgage is made up of your principal and interest, insurance, and taxes. So if the insurance part of your, I mean, if the taxes part of your bill goes up, then wouldn't your escrow have to go up to cover for that at the end of the year?
Well, that depends on the individual mortgage.
That's true.
You know, I think your individual mortgage will include some of the things you have, but most people, the mortgages I've had anyway, is I get a tax bill at the end of the year and it's due. And I just pay it directly. What we should try to do is save a little every month, knowing the tax bill's coming. Yeah. Because also, of course, it's in Jackson County, it's due by the end of the year.
December 31st.
And December 31st, of course, is also Christmas time. So various other, you know, family expenses or whatever. So we should be budgeting for that.
And the best way to do that, folks, is to take what you know your tax bill was by last year, divide it by 12, and I would say round up to the next whole number, divide it by 12, so then at the end of the year, you can do that. Or for people that may get a tax refund back, just take all of it straight out of the tax refund so you've got it sitting to the side. Because the sad part about this is that if you don't pay your taxes for 3 years, your property will be sold on the courthouse steps. And there is, as he mentioned last night, if you've got a $100,000 house and it's yours and you owe 3 years worth of back property, 3 years worth of back taxes, it may be $5,000, you can lose your $100,000 house over $5,000. So, you know, it's best to go down to the county first, find out where you're at, see what programs that they may be available to help you, and then that will allow you to be able to know what you need to do to ensure that your property taxes are paid. And like I said, if your house sells on the courthouse steps for $50,000, the rest of the funds, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no money given back to the property to the homeowner. All the funds go to Jackson County for, you know, cost, fees, and everything incurred with selling your property. Mr. Finley, I was saying if Jackson County sells your house.
I'm not sure this is on.
Okay.
Is this on?
Yeah, the mic's on. It must be.
Okay. Well, you know, the problem there is, too, during that three-year period of time, there's numerous opportunities in there to try to start paying on it if you're falling behind. And I know people who make sure that they don't get 3 years behind, and they make sure they don't get 3 years behind by paying. If they're behind, they pay a year. And that way it doesn't go into the foreclosure process. But we've got to, and I don't want to seem insensitive, but we've got to handle what funds we have available so that we can pay the taxes or, as you have mentioned, there is the possibility of losing the property. But it usually, in the normal process, takes 3 years.
Okay. So, we just want to reiterate this part. What documents or items can a resident use for supporting evidence to have their rates lowered?
These are not on either.
Okay.
What documents or what again?
What documents can supporting evidence can residents use to have their rates lowered?
Well, if we're talking again about the appeal process, persons can submit comparable sales, recent appraisers, operating statements for a three-year period, lease or rent documents, depreciation schedules, closing statements of any recent sale. They can submit estimates on the cost that it would take to fix whatever the property problems are. Current photos of the interior and primarily exterior. And any new rehab properties, what it costs to do that. And these kind of documentation of the actual value and costs associated with the property will be considered by the Board of Equalization. And coming to, again, they're not looking at the tax rate. They're looking at the value.
So I know an appraisal cost about $500, and some people were mentioning that last night. How do they go about getting an appraisal? And it's basically one of the things you have to look in the phone book or look online more likely today and see and find a company that does an appraisal, but that cost is going to be entirely on you. So, but also, when you're looking at houses on the MLS, you're really not comparing apples to apples, because some of the houses in certain neighborhoods, you know, may be better on the inside condition than yours. So those pictures do to help, you know, put down if you need a roof, if your house needs painting, if you need these different things. One of the things that people came up with last night was, you know, if you're going to look at buying a house, you know, if you need a house that has a lot of work, contact the We Buy Ugly Houses people. And they would definitely be able to give you assessment or evaluation of what they would pay for your house. And that's kind of a value. That's about they usually get maybe no more than about 65 cents on the dollar, but you can kind of figure that one out. So we can begin to do that.
And also, it probably is important to know, there are appraisals, and the fees vary. Mm-hmm. You can shop it around. There are market value appraisals where the appraiser simply goes online, looks at MLS, multiple listing services, and determines comparable sales. And then would offer an opinion that this property would probably sell for this because something around the corner sold for it or up the street sold for it or whatever. There is also, of course, the detailed appraisal, which involves an inspection of the actual physical inspection of the property, which would obviously, I believe, would be more expensive. $500 to get this done is not a set in stone fee. You can shop it around and perhaps find someone who will just do the services for a less reasonable price.
That's true. And you can also, in some cases, they just do a drive-by inspection. They drive by your house and look at what it looks like on the outside, and they kind of base that. I know I had an aunt who had an issue, and they did a drive-by on her particular property based off of that. So where is the website where residents can start this informal process online?
JacksonCounty.gov, and I will get the specific address, sir, is go to jacksongov.org/review. And that will start. You can go online to that web, and that will start the process. There's a form there that one can fill out and then submit an email or fax or in person the supporting documentation. You need the PIN number and, as we've indicated, the parcel number from your particular parcel.
Okay. We've got a caller on line one, Slobik. Good morning, Slobik.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. What's your comment or question for Mr. Finley on the property tax situation?
Well, I wanted to comment really quick on creating fair comparables, since you guys are talking about this right now. I've bought and sold quite a few houses in my North High Park neighborhood and also in adjacent neighborhoods, and there's a huge differential between homes that need work and homes that are actually properly prepped for the market. So just to illustrate, a house that I bought 1 year for $38,000 a bit of work put in sold for $251,000 just 4 years later. So to actually go to MLS and pull up previous sales in your neighborhood will be extremely misleading, because the county is talking about market value, and market value means not putting in a bunch of work to prep it for a sale, to make renovations, to do the landscaping, to fix all the cracks in the walls. We're talking about somebody walking in and saying, hey, I'm willing to buy this house right now. Now, the people who are doing this are the people who are the We Buy Ugly Houses folks, and they're only going to offer you $20,000 for a house that maybe has a realistic market value of $150,000 if it was properly listed, properly prepped, and so on. So now you're being told by the county to use the $150,000 as the comp. It's not fair.
That's a good point. So then people, as we were saying earlier, people may want to contact those people who We Buy Ugly Houses, homebusters, to have them come out and ask them what would they pay for your house in this current state.
And even Zillow is now buying houses, so I wonder what contacting Zillow would yield, because apparently they're probably not going to actually to be too thorough in coming out and suggesting what an actual retail value of a home would be.
And you are correct. And to add to that, today Zillow just opened up an office in Overland Park, so Zillow has entered the Kansas City metropolitan area real estate area. So now we have Zillow. So when you go on, you can look at Zillow and figure out whether it would be, and now you got an opportunity, you can contact them in Overland Park and maybe see if you can get something on that also. So thank you, Slavik, for that good information, and it was great meeting you last night.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
You too, bye-bye.
Take care.
So
I'm sorry, I was unable to hear again.
He was saying about what he mentioned last night. He was one of the people who was at the event. He was saying that, people need to, when they use MLS, that they need to look at the value of the house on MLS is for those houses that have been prepared, fixed, and they're 100% on the market. And a lot of people's houses may need mud jacking in the basement. They may need roofing, painting. So a good thing to do would be able to contact We Buy Ugly Houses or Homebusters, or some of those organizations that buy real estate, to get them to give you an assessment of what they would do on your house. Because when you lose MLS, you're not comparing apples to apples. You're comparing apples to oranges, because those houses have been worked on, painted, roof, gutters, everything, to get maximum value out of it. So that's what people need to really look at. So legislative friendly, do you have to live in the property to file an appeal?
I believe, if the property's in your name and you're being taxed for it, I think that's what the basis for the appeal is. Because that's why we have people getting residence in and of itself. It's not, I don't believe, a requirement. But most of the people who would be getting taxed, of course, it's their home. And so, because this also applies to commercial properties, this appeal process.
Okay. One other thing we're going to, as we start to close out, Senior Citizen Property Tax Credit. This is a program offered by the state of Missouri. Eligible senior citizens or those with qualifying disabilities may receive a rebate on their paid real estate taxes or rent. For information to obtain a property tax credit claim form, Missouri Form MO-PTC, contact the state of Missouri, the Department of Revenue, P.O. Box 2800, Jefferson City. To be eligible for state of Missouri property tax credit, you have to meet the age or disability requirements, means you or your spouse must be 65 years or older, age 60 or older, and receiving Social Security spouse security benefits, or you have to be 100% disabled. So those are things that you can actually do if you've got that. And as we close out here, if you want to call Jackson County Assessment Department and you're lucky enough to get through, the number is 816-881-4601. And we want to repeat those deadlines: June 24th, 2019 for the informal review by assessment department officials, July 8th deadline for filing a Board of Equalization appeal for a 2019 valuation, and September 30th, 2019 deadline for filing a State Tax Commission appeal of the 2019 valuation from a Board of Equalization decision. So you can only appeal to the state to appeal the Board of Equalization decision. And Mr. Finley, if people want to contact your office or to get information, or you send out these emails and this great information, how can they contact your office, and what's your contact information?
Just a moment. Let me get a, because I got a lot of numbers. I got a lot of numbers, and I'm going to look at my card for sure. The Jackson County office number is 881-3806. Fax number is 881-3340. And they can email rfinley@jacksongov.org.
So there you have it, folks. Can you repeat that one more time, just in case people may be trying to get you the pin?
rfinley@jacksongov.org. Office number 816-881-3806. Fax number 816-881-3340.
All right. I would like to thank Mr. Finley for giving him his time today on short notice, and but also the tireless work he is doing right now to educate people on this, because, folks, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't have known about it. So I want to say thank you. And for being, also being a guest today, we never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Again, we're going to reiterate the deadline for property tax informal appeal is Monday, June the 24th. Dedication of Yvonne Wilson Park will be Saturday, June 23rd, 2019, from 10:30 to 12:30. The dedication will be held in the park, which is located at East 34th Terrace and Stadium Drive, and the park is named in honor of the former state senator Yvonne Wilson. Join us next Thursday, January 27th, as our scheduled guest is State Representative and City Councilman-elect for the 3rd District, Brandon Ellington. For Cowtown Conversations, and being your host, Joseph Jackson, have a great day and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. 90.